How good are you at suffering patiently? We're going to talk about it, so stay tuned. Here we go. Suffering patiently. Doesn't sound like a lot of fun, does it? Welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak. I think it's an important topic, though. We're going to look at the imitation of Christ and what Thomas A. Kempis has to say about suffering patiently. So many times, even if we have good intentions, we begin to suffer. Things don't go our way. What do? We complain. That's a big problem, but it's a common problem, and it really is something that deserves more attention. We will give it that attention on the program. We will also look at the Mass readings for Tuesday of the 13th week in Ordinary Time. Today is the memorial of St. Irenaeus. I'll tell you a little bit about him. So we've got a busy show today. I wanted to remind you that since it is Tuesday, tomorrow morning at 6:35 a.m., I'll be doing my weekly segment on EWTN Radio's Sunrise Morning Show. I hope you can tune in. Adam Mitchell and I have been going through my book, Find a Real Real Friend in Jesus, 10 Amazingly Easy Steps. We're just about finished the 10 Amazingly Easy Steps. We've been doing one a week, so I hope you'll tune in. I've got one tomorrow that can sometimes be really challenging. So tune in, hear that. And then later on at 8:45 a.m. Eastern Time, if you are in Iowa, I'm just going to say this in case you're in the area. Of course, you can also listen online. I'll be on the John Leonetti program with my buddy John Leonetti. I'm going to be talking about or doing my regular monthly segment, Walking with the Lord. I'm going to be giving you some guidelines for how you can learn to turn to Jesus throughout the day. So that's what we're going to be talking about on Iowa Catholic Radio. And then again, of course, I'll be back here tomorrow night, God willing, and I hope you'll be able to join me for the Wednesday edition of the program. I really love being able to hang out with you on this show. It's a great blessing to do so. I think together we can learn a lot, and I always try to give you good material to the best of my ability. My goal is to help you grow closer to Jesus, have that personal relationship with Him, and walk with Him every day. That's my goal, and I certainly hope that I succeed. I want to let you know, too, as a reminder, that Total Consecration will be beginning again this year in September. I'll give you more information about that as we get closer. But this year, I will be using a combination of different methods for preparing. So we're going to do something that's never been done before on this program, and I hope you'll be able to participate. We'll start in early September. More details will be forthcoming. Just get prepared, get ready, because I have a feeling this is going to be really big. If you've never made your total consecration to Jesus through Mary before, you're going to love it. It's going to change your life for the better. And if you have done it, this is a great way to renew your consecration, which St. Louis de Montfort recommended that we do once a year, and that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to look at a way to renew our total consecration or make it for the first time. And again, I looked at all the methods. We've done five different methods of preparation. And one of the challenges is St. Louis de Montfort never gave a day-by-day. He never devised a day-by-day preparation. He just gave some guidelines on how we should do it. So therefore, a lot of different individuals and groups have come up with their own plans. I'm going to take the best of the best. We'll combine them all and give you what I think will be a very faithful to St. Louis' recommendation, very faithful preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. And as a reminder, when we do total consecration, we go right through the weekends. I'll do 15-minute shows on the weekend and 30-minute shows each night. So I'm not going to give you a break because we need to be here for the 33 days. And it's always a tough challenge for me, but it's always very beneficial. It's a very fruit-filled experience. I get a lot of good comments on the show, on the shows that we do. And I know once you consecrate your life to Jesus through Mary, you'll never be the same again. You'll have bumps in the road, but your life is going to be much better than it was beforehand. So stay tuned. I'm going to be giving you more information about that as the plans start to solidify and we get into things running and into motion. Now, I also want to thank you for your response to my plea. I've been asking recently for you to continue using the Amazon link on my website. That's one of the ways I keep this program free of charge. And that's also one of the ways that I keep my full-time apostolate running. You have answered, you're hearing me, and I'm very grateful for that. I would ask you to just please keep it up anytime you shop from Amazon.com. If instead of going right into the Amazon website, you would just go to my website, followingthetruth.com, go to followingthetruth.com and click on the Amazon link there. That will take you into Amazon, and you're going to get the same prices that you would get if you went in there ordinarily, but the fact that you came from my website will result in a little bit of a profit for me, and that would help me tremendously. So I thank you in advance for that, and please try to keep that in mind. Let your friends, let your family know, because it is a really big help to me. That's one way. The other way is by purchasing Mystic Monk Coffee, which once again is the beverage du jour today. I'm going to tell you what it is in case you're wondering. You ready? You know it's Mystic Monk Coffee, but you don't know what kind. Here we go. Oh, that tastes good today. Today's blend is the special summer blend. That's the version, that's the Mystic Monk Coffee that I'm drinking today, summer blend. And if you haven't been on their website recently, check it out. They've redesigned the website. They have a lot of new varieties. Simply go to followingthetruth.com and click on the Mystic Monk image, and it'll take you right into their website. When you purchase coffee through my website, that way you help me, you help the monks, and you help yourself to get some fine coffee. So check out Mystic Monk Coffee. And also, if you're able to make a financial donation to support my work, you could do that from followingthetruth.com as well. Just click on the donate tab and you'll be all set. Thank you in advance, and I thank you for your prayers, because you're really sustaining me with your prayers and your financial support. So I'm very grateful for that. All right, let's get started. Let's pray, because we've got a bunch of things to cover today. And I want to tell you, the gospel reading today is one of my favorites. You know that I speak a lot about overcoming anxiety. Well, this is a passage that I use all the time. And it is one of my favorites, so we're going to have plenty to say about it. But before we start, let's turn to our Heavenly Father and ask for His help and thank Him for the many blessings He has given to us. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day. Thank you for blessing us in so many ways. Thank you for the gift of Jesus, your Son. Thank you for allowing Him to redeem us. Thank you for providing for us. You provide for us every day. You have given us this day. You are sustaining our life, and we're very grateful for that. Father, we turn to you today and we ask you to use us in any way that you see fit. We are at your service. Please use us to accomplish your work. And thank you for allowing us to participate and join in with you. We're very grateful for that opportunity. Father, we ask you to bless us and bless our family members. Bless all of those around us, our coworkers, our friends, fellow students, people that we meet in the store, fellow drivers on the road. We ask you to bless everyone that we see throughout the course of the day. We also ask you to help us to remember your presence. Oftentimes we forget about you. We forget just how much you love us. It's hard for us to comprehend just how much you love us, Father. So we ask you to help us with that. We ask you to help us to remember you. We ask you to heal all those who may be sick today, especially anyone who is listening to this program and their families. Heal them in the best way possible. Please help those who are struggling with anxiety or loneliness or doubt or despair. Anyone struggling with an addiction. Anyone dealing with religious persecution or maybe a serious financial crisis. Father, we know that you have the answer to all of our problems, and we trust you to handle these problems. Please help those who are dealing with extreme weather conditions or maybe dealing with religious persecution. We ask you to help us with our own personal needs, whatever they may be. And I ask you to take over this program for me and to speak through me and to open our minds and our hearts, so that we may be receptive to the message that you have for us. We also ask you to bless our priests, our religious, our deacons. Please increase vocations. Please put an end to abortion. And please, Father, bring about peace in the world. Every day we hear new stories of terrorism and violence. Today we especially ask that you come to the assistance of those who have recently who have experienced the recent terrorist attack in Turkey at the airport. We ask you to have mercy on all who died and on their families, anyone affected. We also ask you to have mercy on the souls of the suicide bombers. We often forget to ask for mercy for them, and we ask you to have mercy on them, and please convert the hearts of all terrorists so that they may be able to experience and share your love. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Pardon me. And now we'll turn to our Blessed Mother Mary and ask for her prayers as together we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. And Saint Irenaeus, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thanks for praying with me. Oftentimes, praying for terrorists is not an easy thing to do. But you talk about really obeying the command of Jesus to love your enemies. It doesn't get much more real than that. We need to do that, whether we feel like it or not. We need to pray for these folks. Pray for our enemies. We got to do it, again, whether it feels good or not. Today we look at St. Irenaeus, the memorial. We celebrate the memorial of St. Irenaeus. Easy for me to say. Let me tell you a little bit more about St. Irenaeus. He was born near Smyrna in Asia Minor, and he was an early missionary to the city of Lugdunum in Gaul. I know I just destroyed that name, but I'm trying my best. Succeeding the martyred Ponthinus as the second bishop of Lyon, he defended the church against the Gnostic heresies. The Gnostics envisioned a dualistic universe ruled by both a good spirit and an evil force responsible for the creation of matter. Against this, Irenaeus proclaimed the Christian God who holds all things in being and gives being to all creatures. Through his thorough refutation of the Gnostic claims, Irenaeus emerges as the first great church theologian who created systematic theology. He died in the year 202. So we ask St. Irenaeus to pray for us. I mean, seriously, this is a guy we need to pray for us. Welcome to the program. I'm Gary Zimek. I'll be here with you for the next 30 minutes. We do this program every Monday through Friday on Blog Talk Radio, and the podcast can also be downloaded in iTunes as well as TuneIn Radio. So I thank you for being a part of the show. And you know the deal. There's always a place for you at my table every night. We sit down with some coffee, a beverage, a snack. We talk about Jesus and his church. Every day, you're going to hear some scripture on this program. Why? Because it's God, it's inspired word. And I want to make sure that you hear sacred scripture. Generally, what we do is the daily mass readings. Very, very important to do that. So today, with that in mind, we're doing the readings from Tuesday of the 13th week in ordinary time. And the first reading is a reading from the book of the prophet Amos, beginning in chapter 3, verse 1. Hear this word, O children of Israel, that the Lord pronounces over you, over the whole family that I brought up from the land of Egypt. You alone have I favored, more than all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your crimes. Do two walk together unless they have agreed? Does a lion roar in the forest when it has no prey? Does a young lion cry out from its den unless it sees something? Is a bird brought to earth by a snare when there is no lure for it? Does a snare spring up from the ground without catching anything? If the trumpet sounds in a city, will the people not be frightened? If evil befalls a city, has not the Lord caused it? Indeed, the Lord God does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. The lion roars, who will not be afraid? The Lord God speaks, who will not prophesy? I brought you such upheaval as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. You were like a brand plucked from the fire, yet you returned not to me, says the Lord. So now I will deal with you in my own way, O Israel, and since I will deal thus with you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. Now, we've been hearing very similar sounding first readings for a while now. And the message is the same, but we need to keep hearing this message. And not just so we can look at the Israelites and say, boy, they were really doing something bad. God needed to punish them. He needed to slap them around. We need to hear this mainly so that we can be awakened, because we can easily forget this important message. One day, we're going to be judged. Now, since we are enlightened and we know about Jesus, if you listen to this show, you obviously know about Jesus. You know what Jesus has said. Therefore, you're going to be held to a higher standard than someone who has never heard about Jesus. We need to take this seriously. We need to really take the Lord's word seriously and remember that we know what we're commanded to do. We know what we're commanded to do. If we don't do it, and this includes things such as loving your enemy, if we don't do these things, one day we're going to be judged. And we're not going to be able to have much of an answer. So please, whatever you do, be aware. Be aware that the Lord expects certain things from us. And we don't just want to say, we don't want to just fall back on saying, well, I didn't know. I didn't know any better. In certain cases, that may be true. But in other cases, we could be in big trouble. So let's take the words of Jesus seriously as we hear them. Let's take all of the words in sacred scripture seriously. Let's take the teaching of the church seriously. And realize that one day, we're going to have to explain our action or our lack of action. It's really simple. If we follow the Lord's way, if we do what he says, we'll get to heaven. We want to get to heaven because we want to be able to live eternally with the Lord. Today's psalm, lead me in your justice, Lord. This is from Psalm 5. At dawn, I bring my plea expectantly before you. For you, O God, delight not in wickedness. No evil man remains with you. The arrogant may not stand in your sight. You hate all evildoers. You destroy all who speak falsehood. The bloodthirsty and the deceitful the Lord abhors. But I, because of your abundant mercy, will enter your house. I will worship at your holy temple in fear of you, O Lord. Lead me in your justice, Lord. It's a great prayer. Lead me, Lord, because I can easily get off the path. Through your Holy Spirit, guide me. Let me know how you want me to act in every situation that I face today. That's a good prayer. It's a good concept to take one day at a time. Don't focus on tomorrow just yet. You've got a day full of activities today to deal with. People to meet, decisions to make, actions to take, sin to avoid. You know, there's a lot of things you got to be concerned about. Focus on today. The gospel, I said it's one of my favorite, Matthew 8, verses 23 to 27. As Jesus got into a boat, his disciples followed him. Suddenly a violent storm came up on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by waves, but he was asleep. They came and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. He said to them, why are you terrified, O you of little faith? Then he got up, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. The men were amazed and said, what sort of man is this, whom even the winds and the sea obey? Now, I said at the start of the show, this is one of my favorite verses, obviously, or passages. Obviously, since I speak so much about overcoming anxiety, this is it's an important passage for anyone who struggles with anxiety. We are going to have these storms in our life. Just because we are in a relationship with Jesus doesn't mean we're not going to have storms. The disciples are in the boat with Jesus, but they're not immune from the storm. The violent storm came up on the sea. The boat is being swamped by waves, and Jesus was asleep. We can all relate to this in our lives. That problem that we are facing, we are asking for signs. We are asking for the Lord to respond. We're asking for him to fix it. We're asking for grace. We're asking for all kinds of things. And all we are hearing is the sound of crickets. Now, I know that's happened to you. It might be happening to you right now. So if you face it in the future, if you're facing it now, if you face it in the past, take comfort that there is some precedent for what you're going through right here in this story, in the pages of the Bible. The storm's raging. Jesus appears to be asleep. Now, what do the disciples do? They do something really good. We give them a lot of, we criticize them often when we hear this story, but they woke Jesus up, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." Now, Jesus is going to slap them around a little bit. Well, here's, let me just say, he said to them, "Why are you terrified, O you of little faith?" Here's why this is important. The disciples panicked, and they went to Jesus and woke him up. That's a good thing. What's bad about this is they were terrified because they didn't fully understand the power of the Lord. They didn't understand that he can command the seas to die down. He could do the quote-unquote impossible. And I think a lot of times we panic in the same way. There are times when it's necessary to be concerned and to pray. That's a good thing. But these guys took it a step further. Instead of just turning to the Lord and saying, "Lord, can you fix this problem for us?" they doubted. They didn't believe. It's obvious by his reaction. They had a problem. They were terrified. They didn't think that he could fix the problem, or they didn't think he could care, or that he cared about them. And he said, "Why are you terrified, O you of little faith?" In other words, if you had stronger faith, you wouldn't be terrified. Now, I always say, don't get bent out of shape because you're anxious, because you feel afraid. Fear is just an emotion. But there are times when we're afraid or terrified when we actually shouldn't be. When we need Jesus to say to us, "Why are you terrified? Don't you know that I'm in charge?" Now, the beautiful thing about the way the Lord works, and you see it in action here, is after he said that to the disciples, he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. In other words, he still fixed the problem, even after he told them that they were wrong for being terrified. It's not like he said, "Well, you didn't trust me, so I'm not going to help you." He still helped them. But in our life, we want to hear these words and listen to this question from Jesus, especially if we are struggling with a problem right now and we are terrified. He loves you. He can fix it, and he will fix it at the right time and in the best way possible. And sometimes the Lord doesn't fix things the way we would like. He gives us the grace to deal with the situation that we're in instead of necessarily taking it away. Let's leave that up to him, and let's pray for the grace to be able to accept our suffering if he chooses to not take it away. A lot of times we just want our suffering to go away, but there are cases where that suffering is beneficial. So let's pray for the grace to be able to trust that the Lord knows what he's doing. I know that sounds crazy, but it really is something we should pray for. We all know what he's doing until we're facing a problem in our life. And then we do start to question him. So let's pray for the ability to trust him more. Now, let's take a look at the imitation of Christ, because it ties in nicely with this whole idea of suffering. Oftentimes, we're not willing to suffer patiently because we just are so frustrated the problem's not going away. We give the Lord a bit of a hard time. Chapter 19 of the book, The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis, is on the patient suffering of injuries and who is really patient. And this is going to start out with a meditation, some words that could have been spoken by Christ to us. So let's picture Jesus speaking these words to us. "What are you saying, my child? Stop complaining and consider my passion and the sufferings of my saints. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. What you suffer is but little compared with those who have borne so much for me, who have been strongly tempted, grievously afflicted, and put to the test in so many ways. You ought to remind yourself of the intense sufferings that others have endured for me, that you may bear your own little miseries more easily. If they do not seem so little to you, take care that you do not magnify them because of your impatience. However, whether they are little or great, always try to bear them patiently, willingly, and without complaint. And you know, that's not easy for us. It's not easy for us to deal with our suffering and not complain. But if you meditate a little bit on the passion of our Lord, the suffering that he endured, it becomes a lot easier. It really does put it into perspective. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever been complaining about a problem and you complain to somebody and they say, oh yeah, I can understand, and then they explain that they're going through something that is infinitely worse than what you're going through, you feel a little guilty. And you say, well, I'm sorry, I was complaining. You've got it so much worse. It's the same thing with Jesus. If we think about what he went through, chances are we're going to be a lot more silent and accept our suffering. The better disposed you are to suffer them, the more wisely you act, and the more merit you will have because you've prepared yourself for it and are well disposed to accept it. Do not ever say, I cannot endure this thing from such a person, nor should this be expected of me, for that person has done me a great wrong, accusing me of things I never thought of. But from someone else I am willing to put up with what I think is fitting for me to suffer. This is a foolish thought, for you are forgetting the virtue of patience, and by whom its practice is rewarded, only considering the persons and the offenses done. Therefore, they are not truly patient who will suffer only as much as they please and from whom they please. Persons who are really patient do not mind who causes their suffering, whether it be their superior and equal or someone of lower rank, or whether such a person is good and holy or evil and unworthy, but who, whenever any adversity happens to them, whatever it is and from whomever it comes or how often, they accept all gratefully as from the hand of God, and consider it as a great benefit, for they know that there is nothing we can suffer for God that goes without merit. It's hard to thank God for your suffering, but if you look at it from the point of view that God loves you, and he's not going to allow something to happen to you that will not benefit you in some way. If you look at it from that point of view, and from the fact that when you unite your suffering with the suffering of Christ, you can share in his mission. When you look at that, plus the first thing I said, plus the fact that every time you suffer patiently, you accumulate what's known as merit. Now, you don't want to turn this into a game where you're trying to score as many points as possible so you can get to heaven, but merit is what we need to get to heaven. So when we offer up our suffering and don't complain, we acquire merit. Remember what Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount about building up heavenly treasure. Well, that's one of the ways that we do that. So, be ready to fight to win the victory. Without a conflict, you cannot obtain the crown of patience. If you reject the suffering, you reject the crown also. But if you wish to be crowned, resist strongly and suffer patiently. There is no rest without labor, nor victory without battle. And then our response to Jesus, the disciples' response to Jesus, could be, O Lord Jesus, make possible to me by grace what is impossible by nature. You know well how little I can bear and how easily I am upset by a little adversity. Therefore, I beseech you that hereafter any trouble or adversity may be loved and desired by me for your name. For it is very good and profitable to my soul to suffer and to be afflicted for you. Now, that's a prayer. It's a very nice prayer. It's sometimes a difficult prayer to pray, because when we're suffering, what happens? We tend to get caught up in our problems. We just want the suffering to go away. But over time, that can change. You can ask for the grace to be able, even if you find this hard, to be able to be thankful for your suffering and to really mean it. That's a grace that you can get by asking. So if you're going through something right now, ask the Lord for the grace to endure. That's really important. And also the grace to better appreciate your suffering. It's difficult. It's impossible for us without the Lord's help. But with God's help, all things are possible. Thank you so much for tuning in. God willing, I plan to be back tomorrow. I hope you can tune into the program. If you have any questions, you can email me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. Have a wonderful night. God bless you. And talk to you soon.